Welcome to Popular Cultural Cherry. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we give you an outsider's perspective about European life, culture, and pretty much anything that is connected to this continent. So get ready to learn something new in a light and entertaining way. Welcome back, everyone, to Popular Cultural Cherry. This week, we have a special guest from Hungary. She's going to talk to us about her experiences growing up as a third culture kid, or her parents are from China originally, but she grew up her whole life in Hungary, attended a American international school in Budapest, and currently she is actually doing her bachelor's degree in Vienna in Austria, where she's doing that in German. So a lot of mixtures of culture, of languages, a lot of rich perspectives from her. So as always, let's go straight into the interview. Yeah, so, Weirung, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really nice that, you know, we were able to kind of connect through Instagram and just kind of find our way and actually have a call to get to know each other. And now we're actually having the interview. Personally, I found it very, very interesting that, you know, someone from China, but you grew up actually in Hungary, and now you're in Vienna, and all these mixtures of culture, Austria, Hungary, even though they're neighbors, they have kind of different language and a bit of a different culture, moreover with China, right? So like all these cultures, super interesting. Also that because you also are involved in kind of like cultural projects that, you know, you'd be the perfect person as a guest for my podcast.
Thank you so much, Lawin, for that wonderful introduction. And honestly, it's a joy to be a part of your podcast. It's really amazing what you're doing with it and really promoting how people are kind of enjoying and also appreciating their culture, but as well as how they're implementing it into the new environment that they're put in. And so in my perspective, that is about growing up as a multicultural and how I navigated three cultures, which you already mentioned, which was for me, Hungary, Austria, and then the US, but also China. So I'm going to be talking more specifically about those four countries, actually, that more or less impacted me, and also how it led me to some, you know, wonderful projects, which I will talk more about later, I guess.
Perfect, because you'll have some time to talk about those projects. And I really want you to share with our listeners also, because obviously they're interested about this topic, and your project kind of ties into that really well. So I think first question is, how did your parents actually end up in Hungary? Like my great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother is from China. So in the past, there has been a lot of like Chinese immigration to different countries around the world.
Sure.
But why did your parents actually end up in Hungary, and how did that happen?
Of course. So I can just tell you what my dad told me. I can't guarantee the 100% it's actually what happened, but it's passed down. So basically what my dad told me is that during the revolution in China, basically he wanted to use that kind of opportunity in a way to kind of explore the world a bit more, because he kind of grew up, you know, in China, and he was always used to that culture. And so he took that revolution in a way as his, you know, window to kind of go somewhere that he'd never been before. And what I heard from him is that back then he only had the option of going to Hungary. And there was this like one-way train ticket to Hungary. I don't know how that works. Don't ask me. But apparently that was the only available option for him. And it was also like the cheapest, I guess. So I guess like that kind of turned out to be correct for him. And then he went with nothing. I think it was like 30 euros, if we're going to say about money, that he had when he, you know, kind of left. And then he basically found himself in Hungary, and then he never left since. So it's been for him around 30 years. So I'm pretty sure he has he won the lottery there in choosing a correct place, because, you know, he stayed there and he's still there now. And he's honestly very, very much happy about it.
I'm kind of curious what life must have been like, you know, coming from communist China, but you go to Europe, but also like a communist part of Europe. Do you actually know? Does he sometimes tell stories actually when he, you know, how he first arrived there, what his experience were?
Sure. So like what I've observed from my dad, because he didn't really specifically go into the details of, you know, like political differences and how that made a change, but he very much is open about kind of sharing his views on the, I don't know, the political system more so in Europe. And in a way, it kind of matches his personality more. So, for example, like he has always been a person that was very much put an emphasis on individuality and on freedom of speech and, you know, kind of living your life as you kind of want, so associated with freedom. So in a like very young age, he always had this rebellious thinking that was kind of like a bit different than what the communist system might have, you know, put out in China. And so I guess like that was always in him. And so when he arrived and when he stayed until now, he very much enjoys it. And he is much more at home in Hungary than in China. So, yeah. So people might be like, oh my gosh, how did he kind of get used to it? Were there some cultural clashes? But what I've observed and also what he tells me is that he honestly really found himself blending quite well into the culture of Hungary and in Europe in general.
I mean, your dad is quite a pioneer because you're talking about, you know, your experiences today, but your dad also had his fair share of experiences. And during that time without the internet, you know, learning, you know, come from China, he probably didn't speak any Hungarian before he landed in Hungary. And probably people during that time probably only, well, probably some people spoke Russian, but I'm guessing most of the people just really spoke Hungarian. Therefore, he had to learn Hungarian, which I hear is like a really, really difficult language to learn.
100%. Like, I wish I could tell you more stories about that from my dad, but honestly, I don't know. Our family doesn't really do a lot of these like past stories for some reason. I know a lot of like parents do that. They're like, this is how we met, or this is what happened before. They don't really do that, unfortunately, and I probably should ask why. It often happens, like, usually, like, it's very random when they do tell it. And it's usually in front of, like, a lot of people, which is kind of strange. But, like, they literally, like, tell an entire story during, like, a Chinese family gathering. And I'm like, what? I didn't know that. That happens so often. So they don't actually sit me down and tell me about these things. But I'm sure there's a lot that, you know, they haven't yet told.
So interesting, yeah. So your dad settles down in Hungary. He really likes it. Obviously, he probably meets your mom in Hungary as well.
Okay, so basically my mother's sister went to Hungary first because she was working, I think, as a stewardess. It wasn't on the plane, but it was on the train back then. And she basically, you know, would go from China all the way to Hungary. And then in some ways, my mom's sister and then my dad met and got to know each other, like on a friend level, I think. And then after that, my mom's sister introduced my mom to my dad, you know, and then they got to know each other in Hungary. So my mom basically flew to Hungary and they got to know each other in Hungary. And then my mom basically settled there after because they got married shortly after. So it was pretty quick.
Pre-Tinder. That was that's amazing how it all happened through like a third person.
Exactly.
But yeah, so your parents, they meet, obviously get married, have children, etc. They're liking their time in Hungary. How was your childhood actually like as an Asian person in Hungary? Mm-hmm. Was there like a big Asian community? Is there a big kind of Chinese community there? How was that being a foreigner in Hungary?
So I would have to say that looking back, I had a completely different perspective of me growing up as an Asian in Europe versus compared to now that I, you know, realize more things and I'm more conscious and aware of the environment around me. Because when I was small, like when I look back on my albums, on my, you know, my student albums, I would see that I'm the only Asian kid in that whole classroom. Like from literally first to, I would say, fifth grade, I would say I was the only Asian or at least Chinese in my whole entire year. But for some reason, I never felt like I was judged because of my nationality or race. I felt like I was one with them. And I guess like one reason might be is because when you're little, you don't really have that full awareness yet. Like you don't really think about stuff like that. So I didn't really think there was something different, to be honest, about me. I felt like I was similar to everyone else. And that whole idea of, you know, perhaps people judging me based on my race, that wasn't a part of like me growing up. Instead, sometimes I would kind of feel that people might give me some longer looks. They might look at me longer, or they might ask me to repeat some words because, you know, I was also learning Hungarian then. And so like there were these like tiny cues that kind of signaled something to me, but I wasn't completely sure and I couldn't put the puzzle together when I was young. And so in terms of like racial awareness, I wasn't very much aware of it. And like that wasn't a very much impact when I was small, but I definitely knew there was something there, right? So this kind of development and awareness kind of grew from like fifth grade on, I would say.
And when you got older, did you actually start realizing what these looks people were giving you, what they actually meant? Or maybe some of your friends actually got, you know, sat down and actually explained to you what?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of just like knew by just growing this awareness on myself is that, first of all, like those looks kind of converted to something else, because there'll be people who are more direct after that and like directly say, oh, you're a Chinese. Like literally sometimes when we would walk in the mall, somebody would pass by me and they would literally like kind of stop halfway and then say in Hungarian, oh, it et kínai, which basically means, oh, there's a Chinese. And so, you know, it couldn't be more obvious that they're kind of like judging me based on, you know, my nationality or race, and also assuming that I don't know Hungarian. So that's like another topic in and of itself. But things became more obvious because I was also more eyes wide open and ears wide open. I was much more aware and sensitive about the environment around me as I grew up. So those things came popping up. The majority of my time, so 18 years of my life, I attended an American international school. And because I was put in this, you know, international bubble, as you might say, I was very privileged to be able to have this open mindset at a very young age. But at the same time, like that kind of, in a funny way, ironic way, kind of led me to not talk about cultural diversity topics because we were comfortable. We didn't realize, you know, what the other outside world was thinking. And so we never discussed it, even though it might be an issue outside of that environment. And so after school, you know, after I'm out of that environment, there'll be times where I would have to deal with stuff like this and people judging me based on just how I look like and perhaps, you know, assuming that, oh my gosh, or I mean saying, oh my gosh, why is your English so perfect? Why don't you have an accent? Like stuff like that. And like those were things that happened after school, right? And those were things that kept piling up. And I wasn't sure how to deal with it because we don't speak about this stuff in school since everyone is international and we're very much accepting, I mean, most of us, let's say, in the school and in the environment. So that was never an issue that we would discuss openly and very normally. So it was more so of how I kind of developed this awareness of reflection on my alone time and when I wasn't surrounded by people who are like me. And how I kind of like digested the events of, you know, being kind of like judged outside of my school environment. So I would say personal reflection kind of did a lot to me because honestly, during that time, I never had a place to kind of go to and explain my thoughts and explain my experiences and stories growing up as a multicultural. Even like to now, me and my sister, like, we never talked about the situations of discrimination that we were in. And like one of the first stories, one of the, you know, stories growing up being discriminated against, and I put it in my blog, like it was the first time it was published. We never discussed this. And we never discussed it with our parents either. Like, I don't think my parents even know what happened, like even now, because we were kind of grown up in this environment where our parents always told us to kind of deal with the problems ourselves. And, you know, there's no point in crying about it. You have to get on, you have to move on. So I guess this kind of mentality was always implemented in ourselves by kind of like dealing with it on our own. And so pretty much I kind of had to find a way, like either way. And then, yeah, basically that kind of led me to my project about culture, which I guess I can also talk about a bit later.
Interesting. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I think when you're growing up, differently in a different country, and obviously you look different. You get discrimination, obviously. Some people will be more like more open about it. Some people won't really like talk to you about it. But do you think, yeah, that discrimination or that difference in their perception of you more about being curious, or do you think there's some kind of like real like racism going on?
Sure, that's a really great question. And I guess it's twofold. So there's definitely people who are just genuinely curious, because for me as well, I'm a naturally curious person and always interested in, you know, learning about people who are different from me. And I also do ask. And the reason is because I know when people ask me, I'm actually very much open to tell them, because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're very much interested and they want to learn about it, instead of like automatically like saying judgmental statements or assuming. You actually ask beforehand, and it tells me that you're actually respecting the culture that I am a part of and you want to know more about it. So for me, when people ask, like, there's no problem with that, but also it's like how you ask and like what happens after, right? So it's really like, what do you do with the information? Some people like might ask you like where you're from, and then I just tell them. And then some, after I tell them I'm from perhaps Hungary, they might say, where are you really from? And, you know, of course, that sometimes bothers me, because it's like, why can't I say I'm just from Hungary? You know, but I still like say it and it's fine with me. But then some people might say like, well, why are you saying you're from Hungary? I mean, you like Chinese, blah, blah, blah. And those happen often. And also like there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just like, how do they kind of use the information I give them? Are they kind of trying to pursue their initial thinking that I need to be Chinese because I look Chinese? Or they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I understand. You grew up in Hungary and that kind of makes sense. So like, what are they doing with the information after I tell them? I guess this is very important.
Right, I understand. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I'm guessing there hasn't been any really, really like big kind of difficult issues that you've had in terms of this discrimination in the past, like was it super bad? Or
yeah, I mean, sure, like there's so much small events that happen, which like it's sometimes kind of like I call it normal, like just what I said to you like earlier on, which is people just stopping in the street and then calling and blurting out I'm Chinese. It's like I kind of call it normal, when some people might just think it's kind of weird, like why are you doing that? Well, that kind of happens often, and even like several times a year, to be honest. I mean, I could tell you a story that happened, and I'm pretty sure, I mean, you heard about this already, but it's kind of like what initiated my project. And it was kind of like a lead up point and something that happened during the pandemic, which kind of was like a trigger for me to kind of start a project and a wake up call, I guess, for me to do something about my situation and the events that happened. So the story goes that I was in Austria and it was the beginning of February. And what happened was I was heading back to my place and I was taking the subway as usual. So I entered the subway and I found an empty seat. Across from that seat, there were two Caucasians sitting. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty normal. So I sat down, took my place. But the moment I sat down, there were these two Caucasians in front of me who basically simultaneously almost lifted their fingers up to their scarves and pulled it over their nose. And so like I was like, whoa, okay, this is happening because I like the way I do. And then they didn't stop there, because the person who was sitting on the outer edge, he got up and then went to the furthest side of the subway. And that was like a really big signal for me. Like it was because of, you know, them associating my race with specifically the event that was happening in the world, which is the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
But the funny thing was, like, it was during the beginning of February. And what that meant was there weren't even regulations or even like 100% facts about what exactly was happening. So there was only assumptions, right? There was only assumptions of who was doing it, who was causing it. And there weren't even any, and because of that, there weren't even any mask regulations. People were wearing scarves because, yeah, it was cold. You know, it wasn't because of anything else, right? And so they still chose to make that decisive decision that they were categorizing me into that box because of what they assumed about the pandemic, etc. So those are the moments where I'm like, I guess we're still at this point in society where people still judge so much based on their first assumptions. And we really need to kind of set these expectations that we kind of need to move forward and we're not stuck in this point anymore, right? There's more to one person than what you hear once on the news, right? So I really want to, in a way, kind of move forward with this kind of like, I don't know, behavior that people have towards
it's an others. Old mindset, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so that was one kind of moment that really was like an eye-opener, I guess, because it was also during the pandemic and everybody was kind of like, you know, stressing about the situation, and this happens, I'm like, why is this happening right now? Like, we already have so much things going on. Why are people just being so judgmental? So I kind of went home that day and I, you know, felt shit about myself because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm Asian. Yeah. Like, should I make myself more white or European because of this? Blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, I decided like, stop this. It's not going to help myself. And I decided to then go to my project, which is start my project, Rock Culture.
Yeah.
As a platform and space that I would have wanted when I was growing up to share about my multicultural experiences and stories so people can have a community support system and be educated about how cultures are, right? And stop having that initial unconscious bias or, you know, unconscious expectation of other people just based on unvalidified information, not even facts.
That's sounds really horrible. I've had a couple of before we go to your project, I just wanted to share something with you. I actually had also some experiences like this has been said to me also in Germany. I mean, it doesn't happen very often. And I think, you know, it's a very old mindset. It's a very outdated mindset. I hope that it kind of ends with the older generation and this younger generation is more, you know, intercultural. But yeah, I've heard like whispers, oh, Chinesische, like I hear this sometimes here in Germany. When I watched a football game once in the Netherlands in the stadium, a guy was asking me if I had like rice, like super random. So they find it funny, but for me, like I'm not super hurt or anything. I just find it's very annoying. And it is very racist. But yeah, I hope that, you know, my hope is that this is kind of an outdated mindset that will not be there anymore in the next, I don't know, 20 years or so because of whatever. Yeah, that being said, I think now we're at a point where there's a lot of Asian culture that's being kind of marketed into Europe. You know, you listen to the radio in Germany, probably in Austria, the same. You hear them playing BTS, they play Blackpink, whatever. You see everybody making memes online about the newest Squid Game. I don't know if you've seen that Squid Game on Netflix, but this Korean show.
No, I heard about it though.
Yeah, everyone's talking about it. I started watching it. I'm kind of in the middle. But this influx of content from Asia, mostly from Korea, actually previously from Japan, hopefully this changes kind of how the mindset of people work. That actually, you know, we're just people from the other side of the world. That's pretty much it. And they have to be more kind of accepting about people like us because of companies being more international, being more multicultural, more people will be on the move, more people will travel, and etc. So yeah, that's kind of like my thought on this whole thing. So that would lead me actually to my next question, which is more about this term called third culture kid. So I've heard this not the first time I've heard it, but actually only started hearing about it kind of maybe like last year. Before that, I never actually heard the term. I guess it's quite a new term for a lot of people. But maybe you can explain what to you being a third culture kid means.
Sure, 100%. So, by the way, guys, I am a third culture kid. And basically, my project kind of roots from this background and what it was like growing up as a TCK, as we call it, as a, you know, acronym, TCK. And basically, what a third culture kid is, somebody who grew up in a country different than their parents' country. So I was a third culture kid in that sense because I grew up in Hungary and not in China, which was where my parents grew up in. So at a young age, I was exposed to a different culture than what my race was. And that in and of itself was kind of a journey for me but also for everybody else who was also in my position. And the reason for is because during your time when you are still like young and trying to kind of figure out who you are and developing, and then you're confronted with, bam, another culture. You're like two cultures. You're like, that's an extra kind of load and burden on yourself because you're already trying to like, you know, be cool, find friends, you know, kind of find your place when you're young. But then you're confronted with this extra layer or onion, which is you trying to figure out where are you from? And that's like a very, very valid question. And it's 100% so important to know because it's a part of your crucial identity formation. And so for third culture kids, the whole idea is that we're confronted with this choice of who we are and where are we from a very young age, right? Because we were exposed to that. So basically, I'm a third culture kid and I kind of want to use kind of my message and my experience growing up as a TCK and the benefits and struggles that come with it and how we can rather focus on the positives that come out of it and how we can use this, that so many people actually see like, oh, you're very, very much privileged to grow up multicultural. Sure, I 100% agree. And I literally wouldn't change it because I'm very much thankful I'm able to have like a very open mindset and be so comfortable in different cultures and people with different people and perspectives. Like that's not going to change. But there's also a lot of like disadvantages. I mean, I would say more like things that kind of weren't so positive for me growing up as a TCK. And I mean, come on, there's always like both sides of the story. So there would have to be some things that kind of aren't so nice. But yeah, it's kind of like my story of growing up as a TCK, which kind of initiated my conversation of my project as well, because I know there's so much other people like me who grew up like me and would like to have this kind of support system.
There's going to be more and more TCKs around the world in the coming years. But what I was thinking actually,
yeah,
is that so you mentioned there are benefits and there are also obviously disadvantages of being a TCK. And from how you said it, probably I would assume that like having an identity crisis, yeah, would be one of the disadvantages. But you also mentioned some benefits like being more comfortable in an intercultural, international environment, being able to understand more perspectives and other things. I just want to know if there's something else that you think benefits you as a TCK besides that.
Yes, let's think about the positive. Thank you,
Lala. Exactly. Let's talk about the positive.
So yeah, as I already mentioned and you mentioned, there's many positives. But adding on to what I've already said, one positive that I've really seen is our flexibility to be in different environments and kind of forcing ourselves to adapt as soon as possible. Because growing up as a TCK, I'm constantly put into different cultural environments. Literally, I would be in an American international school, like an international environment, like for, I would say, I'd say 80% of my day. And then go back home to my parents, which is a very traditional Chinese family. And then perhaps go to dinner with my Hungarian friends, my family Hungarian friends. And that will literally be in one day. And so like from a very young age, you're very much forced in a way to kind of change your behavior or change kind of change kind of some aspects of yourself to kind of blend into the culture. Because there's certain cultural nuances that you kind of have to, in a way, adapt yourself to or chameleonize, if there's a word for that.
Chameleonize. No, it makes sense. I don't know if it's a word, but it does make sense. Go ahead.
Yeah, to chameleonize yourself into, that makes sense. So, for example, when I am in school, my communication might be more so kind of like direct and kind of just say what I kind of think, whether good or bad, because there is this fostering of independent thinking as well as kind of voicing your opinion in like at least the American environment and what our teachers kind of tell us. But then when I'm home, I might come home, for example, and I, you know, my mom might make a good dinner and then I might not like a food. I'm like, Mom, it's not that good. And like, you know, it's always kind of awkward in that way. But sometimes I'm just very much used to like being in a direct communication environment. But when I come home, I in a way forget sometimes I might to adapt into the Chinese culture, which is you're much more indirect about what you like, what you don't like. And you are very much kind of saying things to make sure that everybody around you feels good, right? It's not really much about your independent self or you feeling good or not. It's about kind of coming together as a community and kind of sitting around that round table, like eating and also discussing and sharing things. And so it's very much so that we are very, in a young age, used to being adaptable to different circumstances. So I would say adaptability, flexibility, it's a huge thing. And in addition, if you pop in languages as well, we kind of grow up multilingual, and that's always a benefit. But I have to say that it's a bit complicated because I might literally, in one sentence, I might say three different languages because I forget some words from certain, you know, parts. So it's kind of funny when I do that. Mostly it's an advantage because I get like a gist of how different languages and kind of the country and cultures that come with it are like. So definitely that. And I would say, I feel like also we are actually more socially adaptable in some cases, at least from what I've observed, because, you know, for me, it's a bit less of a situation because I was in Hungary my entire time, right? So I didn't really move. But for a lot of TCKs, I know what the normal is. You move every 3 years or every 4 years or every 2 years, you have to move to a new country. And this is at a very young age. And this might be because you are kids of diplomats or military people or missionaries, and you have to move. And so you don't have a choice. And because of that, every single time you have to force yourself to be the one who kind of introduces yourself and makes friends, because you might kind of move to an entirely new place literally in the middle of the semester, right? And so everybody else already knows everybody, but you are kind of confronted with this, I have to kind of deal with this on my own. Now I have to take the step forward. And so in some ways, I would see that we are in a way perhaps more active, and we kind of are used to getting to know more people or new people, right? Because we're always confronted with that situation. So definitely that as well. I mean, to add on to that, perhaps also self-awareness. I think self-awareness also is definitely a factor that has, yeah, I would say is more high for third culture kids, is because we constantly reflect on our identity. And so from that point on, like everything else that we kind of like observe, we're trying to connect it with ourselves, how that plays a role, and how we want to kind of express ourselves, because we're confronted with so many different, you know, cultures, but as well as with like different environments that we're put in. So a lot of advantages, to be honest. Yeah.
When you were talking, I was kind of daydreaming. I realized that it has a lot of advantages, right? But as a kid, it might not be really as easy because you're kind of forced into the situation where you might already be comfortable in your comfort zone. But because of the circumstances of your parents, you have to move cities, or because for whatever reason, you have to change schools. Then you're always kind of forced to be like good in social situations, to be kind of an extrovert more or less, because if not, then you'll be alone. Like you're forced into a situation where you have to understand other people. And at the same time, you have to not force them to understand you, but make yourself understood as well. Interesting thing that you also mentioned is that you mentioned something about self-awareness. And I think that also stems from, because you're actually being put into a situation where there are people from everywhere and you're getting perspectives from so many different people from everywhere. Therefore, it just widens your knowledge about people, your knowledge about yourself. And I think that's a really, really good advantage. And if we look at the practical side of things, for example, for employment or whatever, obviously the languages plays a big role. Flexibility, you know, you want your people moving around, talking to customers from all over the world as more of these multinational companies come to life. And I think as a TCK, you're kind of in a good position right now with globalization and everything. Like, I think you're in the next few years, you're probably be a very successful person running a global company. And I think that's kind of like the direction, but that's at least how I see it.
100%. I do believe TCKs are the future. Sorry, yeah, there's not TCKs out there. But honestly, like, let's keep it real. Like, even if you are placed in a situation where you are not in a multicultural environment, there's going to be people who are going to think different than you. And even though you look the same, even though you are all Chinese, there's every single person has a different idea, has a different opinion about one thing or about something, right? And so after being a TCK or being a TCK, you kind of are used to that diversity in opinion and diversity in perspectives. So we're able to kind of, in a much more efficient and faster way, get to understand the dynamics of people, but as well as the environment around us. So in terms of like how the current market and businesses are growing, it's super quick. Everything is happening in like lightning speed. And you kind of need people like that who are able to catch on and be able to kind of form themselves in different ways according to how everything is going. So in that sense and perspective, I think TCKs are very much valuable. And for all the TCKs out there, shout out, don't underestimate yourself. You are amazing.
It's all about communizing at the end of the day.
Exactly.
So let's go back to your project. So you gave us a bit of an introduction there. How do you see your project like moving forward in the future of your raw culture?
So I guess I can explain more of like what it is now. So yeah, so raw culture right now, it's, as I mentioned before, kind of like a community and a platform for third culture kids specifically, and around the ages between 18 to 24. And the reason why I chose specifically this kind of a target group is because during this time, this is when I realized that I needed a space very much so. Because 18 to 24, around that age, is your crucial development years. And it's very much so important for you to have a community and a place where you can just express all your experiences and talks and, you know, just have that support system with you. And so I chose that specifically. But in all, the whole idea of raw culture is to create a platform for people to come to and basically explain their experiences and stories while growing up as a multicultural. And through these, be able to connect every single story with somebody else. And then there always would be people who say, oh my goodness, I had the same experience as you. Or if they didn't, they'll be like, oh, I had the same feeling or emotion that you went through. And I am 100% with you. And this is the kind of bond that I'm trying to create, because I would have really loved that when I was back then trying to feel like connected to somebody, but I did not have that. So basically, it's a community platform, but as well as combined with an educational aspect, because it's also open for non-TCKs who want to come and just get to kind of like listen to the stories shared by us, right? And through this listening, and active listening, you get to understand other cultures through that. So it's a mix between community and an educational resource for those who just want to pop in and get to learn about other cultures. So that's the website aspect, right? And on the website, there's already a couple of videos, there's blogs, and you know, interviews as well on. And it's about TCKs as well as non-TCKs explaining their experience growing up in different environments. And as well as me, for example, interviewing experts from different fields and getting their perspective of how culture plays a role in their business or how they potentially implement corporate culture and what problems or potential opportunities they see in that area, right? So those are like some topics I actually kind of ask and kind of go into. And so it's like really trying to create a wide range of resources for everyone. And at the moment, however, I'm actually in the midst of creating a mobile application. And the whole idea is to basically move this to a much more, how do I say, a more reachable and more efficient platform, because I realized that, you know, everything is so quick now. And I just want to make it the easiest for everyone to connect. And the easiest I can think of now is just simply an app you can download and then in the next moment connect to somebody online. And so it's going to be a community app where TCKs can connect by talking to each other and then sharing their stories during that moment, connecting with those common points, and then reflecting on what you kind of learned and your takeaways and the cultural differences or similarities, right? And then using that to kind of help others who come to the platform to understand about other cultures, gathering that in a way. So it's very much exciting. I'm very much excited about it. There's a lot to do. It's going to be a long way, but I know it's going to be 100% worth it, because I'm doing it because I personally would have really liked it when I was back then, in that few years ago, in that age, I guess. Yeah.
The thing is, imagine your story is so interesting already. Imagine all the people who contribute to your blog has their own story and how what kind of a treasure trove of information and interesting content that could be. Also for people like me, I'm not a TCK, but I moved to Germany. And for me, just learning about your experiences growing up in a different culture is already very, very interesting. So I think it will be a very successful project and you'll have a lot of people either contributing or being part of that community. So yeah, good luck.
Thank you so much, Lawin. And like you actually touched on a point, which is you kind of like said, even though I'm not a TCK, I can already kind of relate or kind of understand like what you went through. And that is exactly the feeling I'm trying to create, because through my platform, my special angle in a way is about storytelling. And the fact about storytelling is no matter if you're the same, if you're not the same age, from the same country, you can understand it because every single person had similar feelings and emotions. For example, you had similar feelings of being happy or being sad or having achieved something. Like that's similar emotions, right? So the whole idea is you get to connect to people who are different than you, but do it through a format where it's understandable for everyone. And that is through storytelling.
Definitely. And this is what we're doing right now. This is basically storytelling. I'm Weirong. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's really been a pleasure talking to you. And I'm really, really excited for what's going to happen to your project.
Thank you so much, Lawin, once again, for inviting me. It really has been a pleasure. I feel like it's just like a... What is it? 2 days of what? 2 days... Tuesday, yeah. It's like a Tuesday night conversation. So it was very much relaxing and I very much enjoyed it.
Thank you
so much for inviting me and having me. And all the best to your awesome podcast in the future. You.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.